Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Today's show is all about you and your sex and dating questions. What's the best way to introduce analingus with a new partner? Need help breaking your biting habit, biting during sex? Plus tips on how to get the dirty married sex you crave. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com and have a party there, because there's a party happening every day. We've got amazing content that we upload, download, all that. You can do all of it there. We've got our podcast. You could subscribe. You can go shopping at our store. You can subscribe to all of our social media, because we do a lot there that I think you will find entertaining and fun. And it's just a party. And it's a party here now with Anderson.
It's a party.
Hi, Anderson.
We're all partying. What's up?
How you doing?
I'm partying.
You're partying.
I like to party. My name's Anderson. I like to party.
You do like to party. We need to party more. We talk about it.
We never party, ever.
But we need to party.
Want to get some stuff? Want to get some stuff? Have a little party? You cool, man? You cool? That's always like a dead giveaway that a guy has a blow. Hey, you
oh,
cool?
Right.
You want to party?
Yeah, you want to bump? You want to bump?
Let's go in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's totally. Like, all right. And then all of a sudden, you're in the bathroom for 2 hours with a guy you don't even like,
exactly.
But he's got the blow.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, those days. Those are good fun days. Those are good fun times.
Oh,
but
yes.
Here's something fun that you could do that you don't have to do any blow at all. And you might even get laid learn how to flirt.
Oh, flirting.
There's a flirting workshop. It's this weekend, February 12th. It's in Manhattan Beach by Celeste and Danielle from the Somatic Institute. They're coming down from San Francisco. And this is kind of a really great opportunity for you guys. They're not down here that often. And they changed my life last year. It's 10 to 3 is the flirting workshop. But it's not just about flirting, you guys. Whether you're single, dating, trying to keep up the spark in your long-term relationship, a little flirting can help us all in our day-to-day lives. It's called Flirting Your Way to Success. And then there's also a two-hour intro to Somatica. It's awesome. Check it out. Go to the web. I'm going to be there. My team's going to be there. Go to somaticainstitute.com/somaticaskills. That's on Sunday the 12th. On Saturday the 11th, we're doing a Facebook Live. We're doing it here at Sex with Emily, so you can kind of get a little taster for it.
Who's going to be here? What's going to be going on?
It's going to be myself. It's going to be Celeste, Danielle, Madison.
Nice.
It's going to be a Saturday party.
For those of you who like don't live in the Manhattan Beach area out here on the West Coast,
it's beautiful.
You can get a little taste of it the day before.
Exactly.
A little sneak peek.
Yeah, a little sneak peek. What will we be doing here, though, at 5 p.m.?
That's what I'm saying.
Pacific Standard.
It's going to be with like, the same similar things are
similar
occurring. Yeah.
Totally. But it'll be in our office. It'll be fun. That Facebook Live is Saturday, February 11th on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/sexwithemily, as is all of our social media.
What time?
5 p.m. Pacific Standard.
Pacific. So 8 o'clock if you're over there in New York.
Thank you, Anderson.
God
for
knows
the math.
That you're in Australia.
I
God
need your
knows.
Help with the math. So I have an interesting story. My mother, interesting. It's been kind of troubling.
Yeah, your mom was here last week.
So it was really intense.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was great. Love having her here.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, moms, and it's like my mom comes, she stays with me and she's there for 5 days and mostly it was a good time. It was all a good time. I actually miss her. I like shed tears when she leaves, but I was thinking today about this funny story. So my mom, my mom was out with her friend. She's got her gym group because mm-hmm. my mom goes to the gym every day. She's very healthy.
It'd be weird if she had a gym group and she never went to the gym.
Right. Wouldn't that be weird? They sit home and play
That's a bunch of dudes named Jim. That would make sense.
So they're sitting around and it's the same five women like every day. You know, most of them are there. But one of their friends was not there that day.
Oh,
but
no.
That friend that was missing, let's call her Barb, was texting Jane, who was there.
Oh, okay. Barb didn't drop
Barb yet. Didn't show up. But Jane and my mom and four others were having coffee. And she said, oh, my God. Barb, who's not there, Jane goes, Barb's texting me right now. Susan, she's saying that something about, oh, funny, she's listening to your daughter's podcast.
Oh, no.
And then she says, oh, and she goes, maybe I shouldn't say this out loud. These good women are in their 70s. I'm like, what, mom, what? She's like, well, she said that your daughter's talking about giving a blowjob on her porch.
What, on her porch?
My mom was like,
when did
the front porch or the back porch? She called me. She wanted to know the front porch or the back porch. Because she's got a front porch.
Right, I understand that she has a front porch.
It would be the
porch.
Front, but the back one's...
I didn't think she was doing sexual innuendos with you there, Em, but...
That was her concern.
When I don't remember you talking about
me
this.
Me neither. So I had to go into my archives, which is Madison, and say, when the hell did I talk about that? And I think it was a show we were talking about sex at home over the holidays.
Uh-huh.
And I talked about this guy I was dating. And this was probably 8 years ago when this happened, the porch blowjob story.
I remember it a little bit.
Yeah. And he lived in Michigan as well. So he happened to be from Michigan, but he lived in LA and we were dating.
It was one of those things where you guys go back for the holidays.
Yeah.
You haven't seen any. Yeah. You're all grown up
Come
now.
Come on over for Thanksgiving and I'll give you a BJ on the porch.
Right.
The old Morris residence.
That's normal. Yeah.
But the fact that my mom's friends are listening to the show and the blowjob, it was fine.
Does it bother you sometimes that it's not like the kind of show that like your mom's friends could or should? I guess they should.
Well,
if they
I don't know why they're
you.
Listening. I mean, I love that they're listening, but it was just
if it was like a news show, they'd be like, oh, I'm listening to your daughter. It's like, oh, everything's great. But like, because it's this show, it's like, oh, I'm listening to your daughter. And I'm sure your mom's like tightens whatever coffee cup she's holding on to or her teacup.
It's a show about dating.
Yeah.
And love is what she tells people.
And porch
blowjobs.
But I'm fine with
that. No, my mom's pretty cool. My mom is pretty cool. But it was a very funny story. But I think, speaking of, it's a show that's about sex. I think with all the crazy stuff going on, and I don't want to get into it in our world right now, that sex is something that's like pleasurable and steady and like happy and like it makes you feel good. And if it doesn't make you feel good, that's probably why you're emailing me and like listen to Sex with Emily. Someone tweeted me. They're like, everyone's talking about politics at work, so I've got my headphones on and listening to Sex with Emily. I'm not saying you should put your head in the sand and there's a lot we should be doing right now, but it's some levity.
And there could be an argument made that sex is the most important thing in the world. For sure. Without sex, there are no politics happening right now.
That's true. And a lot of politics do go back to sex. I do agree with that.
Not
war
just
war
with
in
humans,
the Middle East.
But like all species, without sex, that species doesn't...
We wouldn't be here.
I like when I take out my little dog and I take him on a walk, right?
Which
and
little dog?
Stanley. When I take Stanley out on a... And it's your little buddy as well. When I'm out of town, you watch him when you love your Stan. And
Hulk.
I've had this thought many times when I'm watching, I'm standing there waiting. You know, as dog owners, you know, like when you're waiting for your dog to pee, you got nothing to do but just stare there at your dog peeing. And can't tell you how many times I've had this thought where I'm looking at his wiener and I'm thinking, don't give me that look. I'm looking at Stanley's wiener and I'm thinking that is the most important piece of that entire entity, that entire little body, that entire little like creature. That's by far the most important thing is because it is the go-between to get more of Stanley's in the world.
Right.
His little wiener is so important. And I just think of it as a pee fountain, you know?
And you never think that when you're peeing and looking at your little wiener.
No, you know what? I've
mirror.
Never thought that. I've never done that. Ironically, though, with Stanley, his testicles were probably even more important than the penis, and I had those removed. So,
that explains it. Mm-hmm.
Sex is a foundation
for so many reasons, but also, you know, there's global reasons why it's important. There's biological reasons, obviously.
You know,
and
7.5 billion people in the world, Em. Every single one of them was created by at least one sexual encounter. Isn't that weird?
Just one. Exactly. Yeah. No, you're so right. And so it matters to everybody. And that's why I think this show has universal appeal.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to help y'all. I want us all to have a better life, better sex. It's helped.
That is your motivation. That is.
Truly. Still is. And I love that I'm grateful that I have found that this is, I mean, it's been a while now, but this is like, I will never stop. I will never stop until everybody's having great sex and orgasms.
You ever talked badly about anyone? I've never seen it. I've never seen you talk badly about anyone.
Don't.
I've never seen you
be
catty. I've never seen you.
You know, as a, only with people, like, if I do, it's like...
You're like the real genuine article. Like you're what hippies, I think, aspire to be like, but you're not hippie yourself.
I'm a little hippie.
You are a little hippie, but you would never see it, notice it walking down the street.
No, you wouldn't think I was a hippie.
You don't smell like patchouli.
No, but I have some. I don't have to, no, patchouli, no. But I have those, like, gnome choppa, like, incense that I light at my house sometimes. But those aren't as bad.
I was talking to my buddy Tyler last week about you, because you were supposed to be on the show, the After Disaster, and you didn't show up. And I was talking about how, you know, she's a little bit all over the place sometimes, and she's not the most centered person that I know. And it doesn't surprise me that she couldn't make the show tonight. She'll be on sometime before, at some point. But, and then I just started talking about you and your personality and how, like, you're maybe the most genuine person that I know, because you just... It's not like, I know plenty of people go like, I don't talk badly about other people. I just think it's rude and it's wrong. But Mary is kind of a bad. You
right,
know?
Right.
They do that. Like you, I don't even know if you could if you had to. Like you just don't have it in you.
I just, you know, it's, yeah, I don't. I don't think it's, first of all, I don't think it's, it doesn't feel good to talk badly about other people. If you have a problem with someone.
It feels so good.
I know.
I love it.
I think, here's the thing. I think it's how we, the reason why we do it and the reason why, you know, people love the gossip magazines and love all the gossip sites is because it makes us feel better about ourselves. It elevates us and it's a distraction from our own suffering. And so I think, like, I just look at the, I just can see everybody's side of things and I wasn't raised that way. My mother doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. I think I was with her and I thought, God, you know, I'm so grateful. My mother, for, you know, we all have issues with our parents, but she really taught me how to be kind and resilient and grateful.
It comes off as effortless. It absolutely comes off as effortless.
I've never heard her talk about, you know, non-judgmental. And it's not that, like, I'm a pushover, but I also just don't think it's helpful for anybody. And there's so many other things to talk about. And I think typically, to me, I hear people talk. And also, here's the other thing, people. If you got a friend, you're like, every time we're together, all she does is talk about other people. Guess what? When you're not there, yeah, she's talking about you.
Absolutely. It's a hard reality. It's a harsh reality, but it is true.
It's always so sweet.
It's so much fun to hate that guy that doesn't let you over in traffic when you would let him over in traffic, though, and it makes you feel better because, like, I'm a good person. I would have let him over in traffic, but that he's not let me over, you know, and it's like a nice vent.
It's a release. You hate that guy, but you don't know that guy.
I hate him so much.
But you don't talk about people that you...
I talk about them when they're in the room, too, so that kind of makes it uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, but I feel like you're not...
I don't talk behind people's back.
No. No, you really don't. You hate, like, unnamed people who are driving cars and cut you off.
Absolutely.
But so, yeah, I'm glad we covered that. We're both
good people.
I hate
groups of people. I love individuals.
Everyone should just focus on, every time you're going to say something bad about someone, I think that you should just say one thing you're grateful for, send love for yourself, and then masturbate. Okay, sex in the news.
Depends on where you are.
I don't know.
Everyone, you're careful with that advice.
What?
Because I'm usually mad at people in traffic.
People do it. Don't. I wouldn't recommend it. It's not healthy.
Everyone's done it at least. I think all guys have beat off in the car at least once.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Really.
Was that you?
That's like.
Oh, I want to do it. Oh, that's where you got.
You want to beat off in the car?
No, I've done it.
What?
Yeah, I remember in San Francisco, I was driving to my friend Heather's house, and I don't remember. It was like a Saturday night. I remember thinking this was so far in San Francisco, driving 20 minutes to her house in the marina.
Right, so you're in heavy traffic is what you're saying.
Heavy traffic for 20 minutes.
Tinted windows?
And nope, just my little Mini Cooper.
In the Mini.
But I was really into this new vibrator I had. What can I remember what it was?
This is
and I remember I was home. I think I had a glass of wine. And then I'm going to drive over there. And I remember just the whole way I couldn't stop having orgasms. And I just, like, kept masturbating the whole way to her house. I don't think I ever told her. I, like, put the seat back when I got there. I don't know. She's a really good friend. I have no secrets for my friends.
Wait, you put the seat back?
It was really good. I couldn't. I have these times where I masturbate and, like, I can't stop orgasming.
When did you put the seat back?
I think when I pulled up, I wasn't done yet. 20 minutes. Yeah, it was fun. What? But it's not safe. San Francisco, those hills. Like, you don't want to, like, have an orgasm when you're going down Hyde Street or something. So everyone masturbates in the car. It's true. A lot of people do. But...
What if a car didn't run unless you're actually masturbating inside of it? Can you imagine what traffic would look like? Oh,
like
my God.
Semen run cars or something?
Well, it's just everyone would be, like, stopping and going and, like, swerving. It would be a wreck out there. It would be a mess.
I'd say pull over. Pull over.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, here's some sex in the news, which I'm trying to relate to masturbation, but I can't.
Sex in the news.
But I'm trying to do a nice dovetail, if you will. Mm-hmm. But women regret one-night stands, and men regret not having more of them.
I totally agree with
that. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
So waking up in a stranger's bed can fill us with regret. Scientists found 35% of women tend to feel guilty after having a one-night stand, but only a fifth of men regret it. Plus, 60% of men are annoyed by their decision to turn down their most recent opportunity of casual sex.
How many? What?
60% are annoyed. I get it. This is not, probably doesn't seem like news to you, but I think it's interesting, which is news because there was some study. But the reason why women tend to feel guiltier could come down to evolution, it suggests, which this always, I think our orgasms are, a lot of it is tied to evolutionary psychology. Men have orgasms during sex to a far greater extent than women, which is true, especially during one-night stands. Typically, women don't have orgasms with new partners when they're not in complete trust zone.
Guy doesn't know how she works.
No, and she's like, doesn't feel safe. She's drunk, whatever it is. So if women tie in emotions and societal guilt to feeling, you know, feeling slutty, et cetera, getting no call after. So the whole thing is like a vicious cycle for them. So they didn't get the orgasm. They got emotions. They feel guilty, whatever. So while both genders were more regretful about one-night stands that did not... Oh, there was another thing in here that says that they didn't have orgasms. They were more pissed off. If they didn't have orgasms, they were upset. Women were even more upset about the one-night stand.
So if they had the orgasm, I wonder if that would give them false
hope. Because
you're
more attachment. Here's the thing also, though. When women have orgasms, they get more attached.
Right.
But I think you're also going to get attached if you just... are with somebody, the oxytocin still gets released.
But
even
if you don't have
an orgasm.
Maybe you feel like the connection is real and it's not just a fling. And then maybe on some kind of like evolutionary level, like biological level, you're feeling like you're going to see that person again, and this could turn into something. Because also, it's just the way that it's set up in science. Like women are trying to get pregnant and then nest, right? Every time you have sex, there's some level somewhere in your brain and in your chemistry where you're trying to get pregnant. So even if you're past the point of being able to get pregnant, right?
Right.
It's still going on. These things, the connections are still being made in your primitive brain, and you want the guy to stick around. So it feels like a failure if he just flees right afterwards.
Rejection, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true, because we're supposed to be that, procreating and finding our match and have the guy to stay around for at least 18 months.
To help fend off the predators and whatnot.
Right, and then he leaves after 18 months, which is why the honeymoon phase dies after 18 months.
What? Felt such shame and like shit after a number of one-night stands. I can't imagine what the ladies must feel with all this extra.
Have you mostly felt that?
Mostly.
But is it because you did it or because you didn't call him?
It's because I didn't want to have to call them.
But it wasn't because of the sex.
I mean, the sex at the time is great.
Right.
I think a lot of guys just regret as soon as like they're done, whether they're like, actually having sex with a stranger or, looking at, not when you're like with somebody and you're actually in a relationship, but I think a lot of guys, like when you finish, looking at the internet, you're like, ugh.
I know.
You're just filled with shame immediately.
And you want the person to leave, perhaps.
That's what I always do at their place.
Right? Is that what guys are like? I'll come to your place.
Gotta go.
I've had a few one-night stands, but they were consensual, and it was like usually when I'm traveling and I know I'll never see them again anyway.
Right. Mexico.
Exactly.
Was that a one-night stand or was that a two-night stand?
It was one night. Love him. I didn't forget about him, but he lasted. Well, let's see. If you date someone for a night, they say it takes half the relationship to get over it. So I knew him for 12 hours. It took me a good 6 hours. Thank God we did a show right after that, because I would have forgotten the whole story. My brain's like a sieve. He was a sweetheart. Yeah, I've had some great travel stories, though. But and I don't feel guilty about it. But I understand why people do. And that's another reason. I got to tell you, I knew this as a young girl. When I was in college, I would never have a one-night stand, because my brain was like, I knew for some reason that if I ever did, I would never want a guy to feel like, I was with Emily and I texted them, I banged her, I didn't call her, or I used her, or I would feel used. Yeah. I already was thinking ahead, I don't want him to think like I had Emily.
That's the exact...
And then maybe that's sort of, in a way, I'm a feminist, but also it's kind of like, why couldn't I have said, I'm having sex for my sake? But I wasn't mature. I didn't think that way then. I just thought, I don't want this guy to think Emily, check her off the list.
I was trying
it was more
to
of like an ego,
articulate that on your show with you a couple weeks ago about how I would feel with girls after like we broke up or like when we were still friends or whatever. I really cared about them, but like I didn't want to be romantically involved with them anymore. But I was really fearful of them being taken advantage of by bad guys.
Right.
And I'm sure I was projecting myself onto these bad guys as well. But I didn't want guys wandering around out there, because I had such respect for these girls and I liked them so much in certain areas. And I didn't like want these strangers out there going, I banged that bitch.
Right. I was like the biggest. Exactly.
I got her one night.
I don't know if other women.
But
I mean,
does that make me a misogynist? It might make me a misogynist.
It makes you, you have more of a.
Because why can't she
twisted.
Be like.
Wait, what do you mean? Why can't she be like, I wanted that?
Yeah,
sex.
Like I could see a feminist really being angry with me.
A lot of women do say that. And absolutely. Women can be mad. Right. Yeah. I thought I was a feminist. I was later on in college, I was more so. But even then, I would have equated this feeling to that, to being like, I could just have sex for my sex sake. I wasn't as empowered then sexually at all. I really was thinking, like a lot of women still do, unfortunately, and I'm trying to change that, that sex was more for the guy.
Right.
I was giving it to him, that there was no way that I'd walk around going, I banged that guy.
Right. And you got to be careful of that too. You don't want to do that, because that's, I mean, we're from working on Loveline for all those years, and you've gotten the training and you understand, and we're working with Drew, and that is a fine line of women that do that. A lot of time there is from trauma in the past, and they can't just be empowered by it, right?
Right. But hopefully, you know,
that character on Sex and the City was dangerous.
Right. Another thing about this show, another thing that the show is about, though, is really trying for men and women just to feel healthier about their sexual decisions and to have a healthy sex life. Be sexually healthy and process it.
Right.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to give a shout out to our sponsors, who we love, by the way. You know, I only work with people that I love. Sponsors, I've tried the toys, I've tried the food, I've done it all. I like it, and hopefully you will too. Thanks for supporting them. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, emails. Love the emails. If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, I love it. Just submit them at sexwithemily.com. Click on the Ask Emily tab, fill out the form, hit submit. That's it. We get it. We read them all. We read them on the show. You can also select the box that says call, and we will set up a time to call so you can call into the show, and then I can get down and deep on your problems and your issues and help you. I love that. You can also leave us a voicemail, 818-ASK-SWE1. As always, include information that will help me, your name, your age, where you live. You know, use a fake name, that's cool, but where you live, how you listen to the show.
Yes.
Ready? Emily, love, love, love the show. Love your confidence, and you inspire me to be sexy, which is great for me and my man. My question, how do I get my bad boy turned good to want to treat me like a dirty little whore? Ooh. Because it totally turns me on. Backstory. Before we met, he had a past that included drug-induced sexual relations that were probably pretty wild. Think tweaker sex. He totally turned his life around when we've been together 2+ years, married in August 2016. We have great sex now, and it's not like we only do missionary, but I could take it up a notch on occasion just because I love having sex with him, and we would love to try and do all kinds of things. I just think he might be a little turned off about treating me like some of the girls he was with in the past. Is there a way to help him to let go and let me be his dirty girl and his wife? Thanks. Please don't use my name. I don't want his stuff out there. Love ya, girl, and Menace, and Anderson.
You threw the Anderson in there.
Dude.
You absolutely did.
But with your insecurities.
I'm absolutely insecure.
Full on says Anderson. If it just said Menace, I wouldn't say it. To be honest, that's happened.
No, because I'm giving you shit, but I caught you doing that once before. But
you caught me doing it?
Yeah.
No, but this time
it was early in the show, though, when I first started doing the
show. No, I probably did do that. And
you did. And I caught you.
She for real said Madison Anderson.
This is very interesting. A very interesting email. I like this one a lot.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm so glad. So, yeah. I mean, I think the first thing I thought of was that whole, like, Madonna whore thing where some guys are like...
Madonna.
You know the whole Madonna... Like, the guy who, and I know there's a drug thing and that's a little different too, but once you get married, you look at your partner and you think, she's my wife now. I can't have dirty, crazy sex with her. Yeah,
that's a whole different thing.
That's a whole different thing. But also with the drugs
for recovering. Those of you who might not know, or maybe you too, Em, but what tweaking sex, whether it's tweaking sex or cocaine sex. See, I know you know,
talk about tweaky sex.
It just goes on and on and on to the point of absurdity. A guy has a really hard time finishing, and you got to ramp it up and get it to, you got to take it to different levels that are more increasingly thrillish for you to be able to actually complete, whether it's putting it in different places or right. doing different positions extreme. Or having porn on, it's got to become more and more extreme, and that only gets worse as you travel down the drug road with okay. the person.
Okay, that makes a lot of
sometimes
sense.
Sometimes it takes
that.
6-7 hours, and it's just not fun. And at the time, I guess that you can look back on it as fun, crazy sex, but it's not fun for him.
So he's kind of he's afraid that if he does engage, he opens up this can. If she's like, I want it to go crazy, he's going to be like, I'm going to backslide. It's probably part of his recovery.
Trigger, yeah.
It's a trigger.
It could be a trigger.
So part of his recovery is probably like, I don't want to have that kind of sex again. Maybe he shut down that part of himself.
But that's not totally fair because there's so many different ways of having crazy sex. Exactly. You know that if ever anyone knows right. that, right?
And so she might need to show, you do actually, Kay. You're going to need to lead the way and let him know that, you know, you love being with him, all that, the affirmation, sex, because it is great and you love having sex with him, but you're going to have to get him you're going to have to work with him, I think, to get through the shame and the guilt and the fear that he's going to backslide into this kind of behavior or that kind of sex. You know, when you've done things in the past, you just kind of shut it off, like, that wasn't me, or I'm over it.
You compartmentalize it. And sometimes it's so awful, you can't even accept it as your own, which is a problem, and you should.
Right, exactly.
You should work it out in therapy, but most of us don't ever do that.
Exactly. So he's going to need to know that this is something that's important to you. So I'm not sure, again, with a lot of people that email, I'm not sure if you have talked to him about sex yet. I don't know this, Kay, if you guys have broached the topic, but he's been, you know, sober now for, what, 2.5 years, and sex is important. So maybe there's a way to introduce it to him. Maybe he needs some suggestions because he probably doesn't have he probably doesn't even know what, like, you mean. Maybe when you say you want to take it up a notch, he probably just equates it to this
faster, harder.
So I think that maybe this is a great time for whatever you're picturing, Kay, like if there's fantasies or when you say take it up a notch, do you mean using a sex toy? Do you mean having sex outdoors? Sounds
Sounds like degradation to me. Sounds like that's kind of where she's
going. Dirty little whore. Thank you. You want some domination.
She wants to, you know, maybe like have him finish on her face or call her names, maybe right. some slapping and choking.
Yep.
On all that's like dirty drug
and
sex.
And she said dirty little whore. I don't think it has to be drug sex. I've had that sex on drugs.
What?
I've had sex like that not on drugs.
Yeah, I know, but I'm sure that.
Okay. So she needs to redefine it for him now. You're married. You guys are in this. And so I think that he might need some boundaries here and he might need to know exactly where you're going with this. So I would say let's say you want to be tied up. You have a fantasy of him using cuffs on you, blindfolding you, and spanking you. Let's just say that. Maybe you guys go shopping or you go online, you order like some handcuffs. You go to the sports sheet stuff, which I love, which is really easy to use under bed restraints, or just leave them under your bed, you know, all the time. I love you. Cuff mm-hmm. yourself up. And he might need to know, like, this is the scenario. You might need to walk him through it and tell him that it's safe with you and this is the kind of sex you want, because he might, if you just leave it to him and say, let's spice it up.
He'll take it back
call
to
me
where
a whore.
He's been.
Yeah.
Probably.
Make me your dear little whore. He it's scary for him.
So what you're saying is make
Define
it her
it.
Own thing. Make it like have her.
Make it about you.
Her fingerprints on everything, and it's her stuff. It's like different colors, different styles, different materials, right? And yeah.
And he can learn to love it. I mean, he can, if that what he was into before, perhaps it wasn't just about the drugs. There's ways to find joy in things that you used to take pleasure in. A lot of people are sober now who still like going to parties.
Right.
Not
That's
as
true.
Much. But yeah. No. But, you know, who still like doing things they did when they were messed up. So I think that you're going to have to really talk to him, and he might need permission again, even to know that it's safe to go there with you. So
right. But then there is the whole other side of this where it might be just one of those traditional guys who always thought that, you know, he's going to be, you know, treat women like
that's
this
why I said
and have this crazy
that's
sex.
Why I said the lady
the
in the sheets.
Thing.
There's a saying, it's like the lady in the streets, the freak in the sheets. Like, right. I don't want my what if I want to
that's
get married.
That's a whole different thing, right? I don't know what kind of advice you give for that.
Yeah, well, like for that, I think a lot of it is, and sometimes people don't change. Like if you grew up in a very like religious background, right. And you hold that very tight to you, for some people, like, you know, all the talking in the world, you can't change someone's deep beliefs
there
or shame they have around sex. There's a lot of guys who feel that way. Well, once you're my wife, I can't have anal with you. I can't tie you up because I respect you. You're the mother of my child.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of guys.
And you're speaking about compartmentalizing. I know a lot of people who, like, when they're kids, and they do this, and that's okay. And then as soon as they're adult, oh, all that's behind me, and now things are going to be like this, and I can become different people.
And I think, like, men and women, I'm really good at compartmentalizing as well, but we can do it. Like, some people can do it more easier than others.
Right.
So I think for if you're involved in the whole, like, why won't my husband just, like, spank me or tie me up or throw me against the wall, you need to talk to him. You need to let him know that there's something that you desire, but there's probably some issues beneath that that could be shame and guilt that came from wherever he gets these feelings, religion, how right. he was raised, that might need some therapy, some deeper unraveling.
Maybe listen to this episode.
Listen to this episode. You guys, people listen, a lot of couples listen to the show together. It's fun. Go on a road trip, listen to 12 hours of Sex with Emily. I get those emails all the time. And then they come back.
I wonder
and
how many people have been conceived that are walking around today that were conceived to this show.
Oh, my God. I wonder.
Little 10-year-olds out there.
Yeah, there are. Email me if you've conceived listening to Sex with Emily. I should send them a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I had Sex with Emily and all I got was a t-shirt, but it's not really true because you got a baby.
My parents banged to Sex with Emily and all I got is this onesie.
Right. Oh. Onesies, no one's going to put their kid in a sex onesie. But that's a good point. Okay, another email. Thank you, Kay, for that. And this is one I'd like to hear how this goes. I really would. I mean, I always want to hear. You guys should follow up. Okay, analingus. Can't talk about analingus enough.
What?
Okay. Hi, Emily. I don't know. Why not? I'm a huge fan of yours. I've been a listener for a long time. I'm a 29-year-old. But do you have a child? I want to have your child. I'm a 29-year-old male who is single. I don't have as much success with dating as I do with hookups, although that's something I want to change. I do have a question about sex. I'm a huge fan of giving analingus to my partners. I consider it my biggest fetish. What are your thoughts on it? Also, if a woman has never gotten it and you want to try it with her, how would you touch on the topic so she's comfortable?
Touch.
Thank you. I knew you were going to do that. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. You make a huge difference with your work. Thanks again, Sean. Thank you, Sean, for all the great words there. That was really sweet. And let's get into some analingus. Okay, so if you don't know what analingus is, it's basically, they used to call it rimming. I think they just call it, they still do.
Tossing the salad, people said.
Well, no, tossing the salad, I think, is more when you, that's also licking. Yeah, that's all, what else do they call it? It's licking the anus,
licking
the anus, licking around it, teasing with your tongue. That's what we're talking about.
If you listen to Nicki Minaj, you know all about it.
Yeah. So here's the thing about it. The reason why, you know, it does feel good for many men and women because there's so many nerve endings there. Just like anal sex, it can feel wonderful. You want to know how to do it if a woman has never been into it. Consensual. You got to make it consensual. You got to make sure she's okay with it. You cannot force it upon her. You can't just stick your tongue there. If you're not certain with it, you can always just, you know, say to her, like, I really want to lick your ass when you're fooling around. Wow. I want to lick you. I want to taste you. I want to lick your butt. I mean, do it. Put your finger there. Like, I really want to. Guys say that shit all the time. Women say it. What? Or
Is this like in the throes of sex
thing.
Or
here's
is this like
thing.
Over dinner?
I typically say if you need to have a talk around sex, do it the next day, do it over breakfast, don't do it in the moment. But this is the kind of thing you can clearly tell if someone's into it and be like, I think it'd be so hot to taste you, you know, taste your butt. Like and if she's like, oh, I'm not into that, then you don't.
Yeah.
Or you can also, if you're comfortable with this person, you'd be like, well, so what do you think about anal play?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a super healthy way to do it. Then you don't have to be shut down in the moment. And that might make you feel uncomfortable. Might you lose your boner, Sean? I don't know how you can handle these things. So you have to figure out the best way for you, but you don't just want to force it upon her.
No, of course you don't force it upon her because that's assault. Right.
Right. But like, you don't want to just keep licking if she doesn't want it. But
and
that's
you shouldn't get creative with it. And like, you know, like by mistake, spill some chocolate there and go, oh, I'll get it. You know what I mean? But you could probably kind of, I think you could work your way down towards it. Maybe like brush with your finger and kind of, you know, be really in tune with her and figure out if she's responding to that in a good way. And then you can maybe kind of make your way from like top down to bottom, like slowly but surely. Make sure you don't go back and forth though.
Don't go back and forth. No ass to mouth, ass to mouth, right? I was like, mouth to ass, okay, ass to mouth. No, that's true too. That was my other suggestion, is that you could be going down on her like you normally do. I'm sure you do, Sean. You're licking, you're doing your thing, and then you
really
start to use your hands.
She'll push
you
away.
You put your finger like on her perineum, like see how that feels. Maybe you start, and then you start
the taint.
And then you start like maybe rubbing with your finger, and then it's true. Some guys might just like lick, and oops, my tongue just licked, you know. And if she's cool with it.
Yeah. Really, my tongue was that long. Sorry.
No, but I mean, the truth is, I'm just telling you, like, if you're not sure, that, like, I'm telling you, like, the right way you could do it, like, a very safe way, But I know there's plenty of women that you just lick there and they won't stop you and then you'll know that it's okay.
And if you're reading her along the way, Sean, even though it sounds like you're more hooking up than dating, right?
Yeah.
So it might be hard to kind of learn.
Right. If it's just like a hookup. But, you know, I think that people are, I feel like people are more open to anal play now than they were 10 years ago. But that doesn't mean every single woman. But just remember that cleanliness is essential. It's great to start with a shower, bath.
Condom on your tongue.
Condom on your tongue, right. Mm-hmm. God, people don't use the dental dams. They really don't. Again, great foreplay.
Because they don't work, Em.
Yes, they do.
They're terrible. It's not, technically, you're not even touching anyone. It's like, you can almost do that with a hooker and go, like, honey, I didn't do anything.
No, that's not true.
And we never touched. There was a dental dam between us.
No, actually, I got to be honest. They feel good, dental dams. Like, really? I think the fabric on a clitoris doesn't matter.
There's a thing called an anal dam?
No, but it would be the same thing that you use on your... And the dental dam, which is like a condom, but it's flat.
Right.
Like a sheet.
Where do you even get those? I've never seen one.
Sex toy stores.
First time I ever heard about them when I was a little kid.
You can make one with a condom.
Haven't heard about them since.
You cut the tip off of the condom, and then you cut it lengthwise, and then you open it up, and there you have a dental dam.
Yeah.
I know. I had
it would be like a square, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a square. There you go. You have... Well, you probably don't have condoms, but you all have dental dams, and if you have a pair of scissors... And you got condoms.
Yeah.
You got a dental dam.
Cellophane, no good.
But back to the... No, cellophane is no good. You could suffocate the anus. No, it's just not as safe. Okay, listen. Okay, so if it's clean, listen. Oh, Anderson. Yeah, no, nothing that stuff. Get the whole thing. Okay, so...
Tinfoil, real bad.
No, tinfoil is not good. Start by teasing her, explore inner thighs, her butt, warm her up. Like always, I just would not want a guy... to go right to anal play. That's just me.
That'd be weird.
I actually had that happen.
Did you really?
In the not so recent past.
Yeah.
In the recent past. In the not so distant past. In the not so distant past.
Right. Not too long ago.
Not so recent future.
Somebody went straight for your bum.
I was like, what? Really? Mm-hmm. Like, can we just start with the boot, touch my boobs? It was so I think we all know this except for this guy I went out with once. But
one time.
Not twice. So warm up with foreplay.
Please tell me that the straight for the butt. Happened the second time, not the first time?
Second time.
Okay, good. I would question you if it was the first time and then you went out a second time.
I would never do anything on the first date. Not never. I'm kidding. I have. But
of course you have.
Of course
but it wasn't like a guy that went straight for the
butt. No. We had a lovely date. We might have made out on the first date. And then I was like, what? This is a really funny story. I can't get into it now, though. But remind me to tell the story. It's a great story and I'm ready to tell it. It's a longer story.
I'm not going to be able to help you. I have no idea where I even
parked
today.
Madison, my mind does maybe. Okay, here's the position. Because he's asking you, are you asking me how to do it? Or are you just asking me how to do it? Like, do you want to know how to do it? Can I get more into it? So anyway, you know there's lots of nerve endings. It can be a huge turn on for her. Positions, you can layer on her back. Like with, you could put a pillow like under her back so she can lay back and spread her legs open. She could also be like laying just, yeah, so she could... have a pillow, get it, and she's elevated. Mm-hmm. So that her back's her butt's up.
Doesn't
she
could
also toss her legs back. You know, and like I said, start with her perineum, like you would cunnilingus, slide down, and you lick. You lick very gently, use your tongue. You can just kind of poke. And then you can kind of tell if she wants more. Is she moving towards you? Is she moving away from you? I have anal cavity here, I wrote.
What?
I wrote this down. I was like taking like, into your tongue, into your partner's anal. I wrote anal cavity. It just came out.
Don't do that. Don't write that.
I've never even said that out loud. Do you ever say the anal cavity? It's like the dentist.
Usually I only talk about that if somebody's like using a prison purse. You know what I mean? Or being searched.
What's a prison purse?
Anal cavity.
Oh, your anal cavity.
Yeah. But I want to talk about it in these terms while trying to make it sex.
When you are approaching the anal cavity, but just into your tongue, lick around. Gentle. You always want to go gently. Gentle, soft, slow, and then see if you want more. But that's how you do it. Warm her up. Warming up just works for so many things. Don't go right for the anus. To be continued. Okay. We've got some another email here. Dear Emily, I really enjoy biting my partner's chest / shoulders during intercourse and find that it helps keep me in the physical moment. Losing physical contact between my mouth and my partner's body and mouth tends to result in me thinking more about the fact that I'm having sex instead of fully feeling physically present. This is from a woman, by the way, if you're trying to think about this. My previous and current partner have not been a fan of the marks left on their chest in the aftermath. Do you have any other suggestions for other physical actions I might try that won't result in physical aftermath, but can keep me in the moment? Do you have suggestions for doggy style type positions as well? Thanks, Liz, age 26.
Wow.
Have you ever had a woman bite you?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you think of it?
I don't mean to say it like that, but yeah, marks have been left. And the only time it's really problematic if there's other people in the mix, right?
Right.
Or if it's really super noticeable outside the shirt, you know, or I don't want to go to work the next day with hickeys over my arm or my neck. But it's so weird. I get this like connection with the mouth, and it's so primitive.
It
obviously.
Is. It's so primitive. Who knows where it comes from?
But it's like I get it.
It comes from these primal, like, well, animals, you know, it comes from that, like, I'm feeling this pleasure and I really want this connection. And so I used to be a biter. This actually reminded me that I was a biter, and I'm not a biter anymore, but I remember several boyfriends in a row were like, it was like a funny thing. They come over, like, do you see this? They lift their shirt and they think bites all over them. Right. And I was like, I did that. Like, I really wouldn't remember
you
that.
Wouldn't
I
remember.
No, I mean,
Tuesday.
Like they said I bit him. I was like, I did not bite them. I'm like, oh yeah. But I was in the, I really was out of my mind. I was like, not in the moment. I would bite.
Yeah.
And luckily they all kind of found it kind of funny.
Right. Funny. It could be funny.
Yeah. I mean, and it wasn't like in, you know, remarkable places.
Sounds
but
like she's got a few partners and they probably have a few partners. And
you know? That could be it. I get it though. Like sometimes it feels involuntary. Like it's a way of her connecting. Yeah. Maybe her guys didn't. That's true. These days, I guess maybe a lot. They're dating other people.
Right.
Mid-20s. Yeah, she's 26. So, but what you're asking is, I get what you're saying about keeps you in the moment, keeps you present, turned on. That like raw energy of just having sex and like the orgasm, the intense physical connection can really, like, it can really, the pain also for guys too, like that you're giving, like that can also help with endorphins. Like, did you feel anything when they were doing it to you?
I mean, I was aware of it. It might have taken me out a little bit, if anything, but. It was a good sign.
Right.
I thought it was a good sign.
Right,
but
it's a good sign, right?
Like if there was somebody else in, like, you know, if I wasn't in a committed relationship, I would be like maybe a little bit worried at that moment too, going, oh, geez.
These were with my committed partners, which has been a long time since it was a while ago, but you're right. I could see that being a problem. So the things I thought about that, maybe you want to be bitten during sex. A lot of times we give what we want to receive. Mm-hmm. So Liz, I'm wondering if you want to be bitten, I think that some guys can think like biting, like if they bite you, it can lead to like punishment or pain for the partners. They might not be biting you back, but it does cause a rush of endorphins, blood to your genitals, makes women's orgasm stronger. So I'm curious if it's something that you want as well. That just came to me. And also if you're into maybe more like, I'm just asking for alternatives. So I think like a ball gag, maybe if you're restrained, like if there's some other physical force on you, or like if you could bite down on something, or if your hands are back, you'd be feeling the force of the, or if he's using his hands, or if the handcuffs, I'm holding my arm, you know, that might be a way to kind of, or moaning really loudly and really like screaming or like getting it out there. Like I do that as well. I don't think I bite and moan. I think maybe I've started to get louder and not bite. This is very interesting.
I bet there's something else that works. And like if you could just try a bunch of different things, like in a comfortable setting, which would be hard because it's in the throes of passion, right? It's really hard to kind of do a controlled test there.
It's true.
But maybe just like holding him real tight from behind while biting your own hand or something
could give you the same sensation.
Yeah. That might do the trick. Or bite them somewhere where no one would see it except for you. But
I don't know if that's why they don't like the biting. I don't know if it's because they're afraid of leaving marks because they're
SWBs.
Why
else would you be upset about it unless it hurts, right?
Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of reasons.
Like it happened to multiple guys in your life and they all thought it was funny.
But I was I'm that great of a lover. No, I don't know. They never were upset, but they were boyfriends. I don't know. So I think you could try moaning. You could try other forms of dominant. I just think you might want to be dominant. What?
You know what this probably is? And this is totally just a blind stab in the dark because I'm not a scientist, even though I like science. This could be like leaving the mark. Like this could come from a place where you're trying to mark your partner.
Yeah, I think, perhaps. So this is a very primal
activity. They are taken off the market. This person has a sex mark by me.
Here's the thing. I think that men could think. I've heard guys say that, like, oh, she did this. To mark me. There's a lot of reasons here, you know? So, yeah, you're right, though. Maybe she is. But I don't think so. I think, like, it is because I'm a victim of biting. I've had victims of my biting that I wasn't doing.
I lost a finger once.
Right. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. But they'd have marked someone, and I was like, oh. I mean, not horrible, but I'm just saying I wasn't trying to mark them, but sure, that there's a lot of different scenarios here, but you're asking how not to do this anymore and try to replace it. So I'm giving you some suggestions here that could be great. You also asked me about doggy style. I cannot speak highly enough about the Sport Sheets doggy style strap, which was like you asked for alternatives doggy style. It's that. It allows you to be at a 45-degree angle. It's a 90-degree angle. It's the strap goes around your pelvic area. Well, he can hold you and kind of move you around in different ways. It's hitting your spots and his spots. Because for a lot of women, doggy style is just not as comfortable. It supports your pelvis so you don't have to be on all fours, takes the pressures off your knees and wrists. And makes it just easier. You can use your hands and yourself. You can pleasure because you're not holding up your weight. Like, think about it. He's holding the strap. Like, he's pulling on your pelvis. Do you got it? Doggy style strap?
I get that.
You can also try like the style rains. Lying down in your stomach. Place a pillow or a sex wedge. I love the sex wedge underneath your pelvis so it elevates it. Have your partner enter you from behind, lying on top of you or kneeling between your legs. It's great to kind of just have these pillows around. Like, have sex pillows in your bed or a wedge. I'm telling you, the elevation works for if performing oral sex, either on you or on him, he on you, she, whatever. Whenever you want the pelvis up more, you put a pillow under your back.
It's all good. Who doesn't have a pillow?
Everybody's got pillows. Right. Or you could buy pillows that are just for sex, like the sex wedge, which is awesome. Liberator makes them. They're super cool.
Yes. Have you ever heard any excuses as to why people have hickeys? Like, have you ever had, like, a boyfriend who, like,
has hickeys? I haven't seen a hickey since I was, like, 17. Really? I mean, do people still do it?
I remember when I was, after college, I was with a girl for a minute, and she had hickeys. And Not from me. And she told me that she was on a golf course and got hit in the neck. That was her lie.
Oh, so people lie. It's one of those. Have you ever heard any? No.
I had another friend. I remember she was a girl and she was freaked out because she had a boyfriend. She had hickeys and she was trying to come up with excuses. And she came up with some kind of suction cup that like was in her kitchen that she would like clean like her dishes with. And she's like, "Do you think he'll buy it?" That I said that I stuck it on my neck. And I'm like, "No, he's not going to buy that.
No one's going to buy that."
The golf ball was the best, though.
That's a good one. Like, it just hit you right there.
I'm like, "You don't even golf. What are you talking about?" She's like, "I went golfing with my friend." I'm like, "Did he give you a hickey when you went golfing with him?"
This was your girlfriend or your friend?
That was a girl out there.
The blood vessels doesn't usually. You can't really hide them either. You just wear turtlenecks for like a month.
For girls, curling ones.
Curling ones.
Oh.
Like marks.
Yes.
Not necessarily. They don't look like bruises, but they're dark.
That's true.
Right.
I've had really bad, like,
and you got blamed for.
And people are like, "It's a hickey." And yeah. I was like, "No, I swear to, like, it was like for my straighteners, like a perfect, like."
I actually shaved once, and I got like a little bit of an abrasion, and I was dating a very insecure girl, and she didn't talk to me again after that. I was fine with it because she was kind of pain in the ass, but she was certain that I was cheating on her. And I'm like,
people are so.
If I knew that, I would have shaved that way 3 weeks ago.
We always think for ways to make ourselves miserable. I mean, well, we don't know we are, but we're so worried about cheating and about our partners being faithful to drive away. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Sorry that happened, but not sorry. Sorry, not sorry for you.
Yeah.
Okay, another email? We have time for one more.
One more. Let's do it.
Okay. Hi, Emily. I've been divorced for 5 to 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Which one? I mean, like, have you been divorced 5 years or 10 years?
Well, sometimes I can tell you this. Sometimes divorces take around 5 years. So maybe they got separated, began the process, and then it took about 5 years.
I get it. Okay, we'll say 7.5 maybe. But I've had several physical relationships that were strictly FWBs, friends with benefits. I was fine with having one foot out the door due to trust issues. My ex-wife left me for another man. However, I recently met an amazing woman that captivates my head and heart more than my libido. She's recently out of a 5-year relationship that ended because he had an affair.
Mm.
I don't want to rush anything physically because we have so much fun and have so much in common that I don't want to scare her off or end up being in another loveless physical relationship. We've acknowledged we like each other for all the same reasons, but since her last relationship was less than a year ago, I'm worried that it's going to rebound. Or I guess that you'll be the rebound is what you're worried about. The topic of sex hasn't come up. We haven't had our first kiss, and oddly enough, I'm fine with that. I'm excited to make out like hormone-bursting high schoolers when the time is right. Maybe I'll give her a hickey. How can I proceed and not fall into the permanent friend zone? George, age 45, California.
Wow, George.
Okay, George, I understand you want to take it slow and don't fall in the dreaded friend zone. I swear to God, I feel like that's one of the top dating questions over the years. Like,
that happened in the 40s and 50s.
It's funny. You don't think about that, but oh yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. I do it. I've done it. Not on purpose, but yes, for sure. It happens all the time. I've been friend zoned. They've been friend zoned. The whole thing. I don't think it ever stops because the reason why people go into the friend zones, I think typically is because... For me, I think that like when I would do it, and I'm not saying I probably am doing it now in some way, but not consciously, but it's because you want the attention of a suitor. You want someone who's after you, but yet I don't want to be in a relationship.
Bullpen.
But I want that guy who's there for me.
Drew used to always call it the bullpen.
Yeah. And it's not fair.
No.
And it's not fair to the person, you know, so I think that it does happen at all times in life. And I think that we're, you know, they're not conscious of it. I was never like, oh, I want you to be my friend. Now I've just tried to make it a lot clearer. And now I am a lot clearer. I think also I might have been in the past like, oh, maybe I will.
Mm-hmm.
It will happen.
You had boundary issues. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Yeah, of course. But there's a delicate balance between being her friend but making it clear that you desire her. And I think that guys, have you ever fallen to the friend zone?
Oh, I've been in the friend zone, yeah. Yeah.
I don't see you as the friend zone guy, but...
Well, it didn't stay the friend zone. I never... Yeah, it didn't stay the friend... It, there are actually a couple friends I have kept it in the friend zone. Yeah,
after
and
you
they're still
them.
Good friends with mine, and you can point the, pick them out because they're in my wedding photos.
Okay.
Like, they're invited to my wedding. You know
okay,
what I mean?
Right.
But for the other ones, no, I didn't want anyone that I had sex with at my wedding. But... He also has to take into account, and so do you with this one, that you know she's coming out of a divorce that was right. involved an affair.
And
so
his
she's
did
have trust
too, though,
issues.
But so does he. So his ended 5 to 10 years ago.
But we don't know why
but
his
But she
did?
Had an affair. His wife had an affair.
His
Her
wife.
Husband had an affair. So they're kind of the same place. Yeah, no.
No.
But they're kind of, because his was 5 to 10 years ago, right. or 20. So they fall into the friend zone, I think, when they act like friends.
Yeah.
Like, you literally, like, you feel like, you act like a friend. You fill her car with gas. You're there when she's bored.
Right. Take her to the airport.
Take her to the airport. You listen to her rant about her friends that she hates or her right. ex-boyfriends
yes.
you're available when she's bored and wants to hang, so essentially right. you become a friend
yeah.
So I think the steps that you have to take does not be in the friend zone is you have to make your intentions clear
right.
So you said that you've both acknowledged that there's an attraction yeah. and I get you're concerned and what if you're a rebound and what if she's not over yet, I get all that, but you have to make it clear. You have to let her know that, like, you find her attractive
right.
that there's chemistry, you're cool with taking yeah. it slow, but your interests are, you know, you're fine yeah. being a friend, but you're attracted to her. You find her attractive. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you that you know, you can even say, I don't want to be a rebound, but I find you, like, keep letting her know that you desire her in that way.
This is what Valentine's Day could be good for.
What?
Because you can make your intentions known on that day. It's a romantic day.
That's
and
true.
You could give her a Valentine's Day card.
True.
I know you're 45 and it seems kind of childish, but you can maybe, like, right now get a nice reservation at a nice.
That's true.
But you also have a chance of this blowing up, because I think that if she has trust issues, which she probably does, he does too, but I don't think it's quite as intense for guys to have these trust issues.
Because he's had 25 years to get over it.
It's true.
Right. No, to 5 to 10. Right.
But she might value their relationship so much that she doesn't want to muck it up. And I think that is a real thing sometimes.
That
I
is
really
a real
do.
Thing, but
I've
find
had that
out. But
with
I think
friends.
That she should find out if that is true. Because you don't want to waste your time having her, like, she's there, there's a chemistry because they haven't even kissed yet.
Right.
And maybe this is a little premature because it sounds like you haven't even kissed her yet, but you're asking me how to avoid the friend zone. I'm telling you. So make it clear and don't, like, another reason why guys fall in the friend zone is because they try too hard. And you might not realize you're doing this because you do. He does care about her.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to listen to her. He, you know, he wants to, like, be there for her. But again, the women do it, or guys do it, because we want the attention. We want someone there who's, like, gives us that
right.
rush of someone who likes us, but we don't
you
really
get,
have the energy to
yeah,
be in a
all the benefits without the messiness of sex, which you probably can go out and get somewhere else.
Right, exactly.
And he'll always be there.
And you're going to know if this exists because it doesn't exist in a relationship which is reciprocal. So if you feel like you're the one who's only giving and she's not giving you back the same behavior.
Get out.
Yeah, get out. You know, you're trying too hard.
Sounds like George is really falling for her, though.
I know. George, you are. And I think that, here's the other thing. I think we also think, well, I don't want to be the rebound. There's plenty of cases where people break up with someone and it works out.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people were like, yeah, I met them the day after I broke up with my ex, and we've been together for, you know, my mom, we were talking about this. So her husband of 32 years now, she met him 2 days after she broke up with the guy that she was dating for a year and a half. And she was devastated, and she wasn't even going to go out that night. She met my stepdad. So I'm just saying these things happen, and she was in her 40s.
Right.
So
maybe she is a serial monogamist.
So you could, yeah, exactly. She might be ready for it. I don't know. So I think that the way you do it is, like I said, make your intentions clear. You can still be a good friend and not be in the friend zone.
Good advice, Ann.
Thank you, Anderson. Thank you, too. Good advice from your end as well.
Thanks.
It's good to have you here as a man and a friend.
I don't like it when I don't come in here for 3 weeks.
It hasn't been
long.
Do
I get put on timeout? Do you guys?
Well, no, we don't timeout you.
No?
No.
I don't get suspended for a couple weeks? No,
you don't. Okay. We don't do it. We I have a rotation.
I know you do.
But I love you. I'm gonna see.
That's
you,
why,
like,
I don't leave marks on your mic when I'm here.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I love that you're here, and congratulations on all your amazing sex.
Thank you very much, Em.
Really, and thank you, everyone for listening. I love you all. Happy Valentine's Day. It's coming up. Yeah, just here, like in a few days. So, yeah, sending you lots of love. Thank you to Madison and Eddie and Jamie and Lori and Ken. I love you all. And thanks so much for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.